Paul told them the hard things. He didn't try to hold back the punches. He didn't try to say, well, you know, if I say this, this is pretty hard. This is pretty radical. They might not come back. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. I wouldn't want a doctor that deceived me when I had a life-threatening disease and say, oh, it's okay, you're fine, instead of dealing with that disease and getting rid of it. Sometimes you have to cut into the flesh to take out what is wrong with the flesh. And you see, that's what the Word of God does.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 20 with a message titled Serving with Tears and Trials.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because
Paul is so transparent, it's embarrassing. I can't be that transparent because I'd feel like a phony. I don't think you could be that transparent. When he talks about things that he did for the church and for people, I mean, you really have to be honest and true and recognize there's not a bone of pride in your life to say these things. He's so transparent. It's so encouraging. And maybe we can't be that transparent and we can't, you know, have that free-flowing kind of spirit as Paul did, but at least it kind of encourages us to pull us a little farther so we don't cover up, we don't hide our emotions, we don't hide ourselves. Because so often that's what we do. We just cover up, we hide who we are. We hide behind a mask because we don't want people really to see who we are because we might get hurt. Because we've gotten hurt. We don't want to get hurt again. That's a sad thing in our world today. But I love it with Paul because he's got a heart for the saints. And then notice in trials, talked about the tears, now talked about the trials. You see, when he was opposed, and often he was, it seems like everywhere he went, he was opposed. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He just kept going. He recognized, I'm going to go into the synagogue, I'm going to go to the people, I'm going to preach, and I can really expect what's going to happen because it happened in the past. But I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to give in. You see, some people give in. It talks about when all people speak well of you. That's a problem, because they did that with the false prophets of the past in the Old Testament. You see, if you're really a witness for Christ, you're going to get some flack. You're going to get some things coming at you. But if you're just trying to appease everyone, then you're not going to have the trials there. You might have personal trials because things happen in your life. But we're talking about trials from the outside that Paul experienced. But he didn't give up. He didn't give in. The Bible says the precious possession of a man or of a woman is diligence. Is perseverance. You just continue to go on no matter what comes at you, what comes around you, what is trying to push you back. And let me say this, you have a 24/7 enemy coming at you. He's called the devil. And he's a real person. He's got a real entity, not a person, but he's a fallen angel, a cherub, the anointed cherub that covereth. He's one that probably led worship of the angels in heaven, and then iniquity was found in him, and he's fallen, and he's got demons. He took a third of the angelic host with him. And so they're the enemies, and the enemies want to push you back, don't want you to succeed and go on. But you see, Paul, no matter what demon came against him or what devil came against him or in heaven and hell and those that opposed him, he didn't give up. He talks about, here's a very honest thing, and this would be hard for me to lay out all I've done. Here's what I've done in my, you know, Christian life. I can't do it. I'm too prideful to do that, and I know it. But I see Paul write this, and he's so transparent when he tells us the trials he went through, it's encouraging. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, in far more labors. Now, these are the trials. Remember, we talked about this passage, serving in tears and trials. Here's some of the things he went through. Probably not all the things, but some of the things. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beatings, time without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labors and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And then he goes on to dangers within the body of Christ. But you see, to me, that's so transparent. You'd have to really be a truly humble person to lay out all the difficulties that you've been through. But Paul does that in trials. Well, it goes on, verse 20, here's back to Acts chapter 20. He says, how I did not shrink from declaring, now, even in these trials, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you publicly from house to house, verse 21, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul told them the hard things. He told them the hard things. He didn't try to hold back the punches. He didn't try to say, well, you know, if I say this, this is pretty hard. This is pretty radical. They might not come back to church. So I better hold back my punches. I better just speak the nice things, the sweetmeats, just the, you know, the nice things that they'll come back and hear it. And Paul says, no, I didn't withhold anything, nothing. I've had to say some very pointed things to people, and I thought they were spiritual enough to deal with it, but they weren't. And it always surprises me because I read the scripture, and it's Proverbs 27 says, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. I wouldn't want a doctor that deceived me when I had a life-threatening disease and say, oh, it's okay, you're fine, instead of dealing with that disease and getting rid of it. Sometimes you have to cut into the flesh to take out what is, you know, wrong with the flesh. And you see, that's what the Word of God does. And it's very deceitful to just get the kisses. Just get the kisses and not get the hard stuff. Paul says, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? He says that to the Galatians. Telling you the truth, I become your enemy, you flee from me, because in reality, you're really an enemy of the Lord. You're fleeing from the Lord. You're just the instrument. You're just the messenger that brings it. So don't get too upset when you share the Word of God and then they flee from you. You see, it happened. It happened in the New Testament. It happened in the Old Testament in Proverbs. The Bible says that the time will come. I believe we're in that time where Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or healthy teaching. Stuff that hurts to get them out of that sinful condition or that backslidden state or that compromise. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Just saying that they want what they want to hear, but not saying what they don't want to hear, because that goes down to the core of the being. It goes down to the core of the carnal life to take that away and to conform them into Christ's likeness. A lot of people just want to stay the same as they were once they were in the world and now they're saved, they receive Christ, but they don't want to be uncomfortable in their Christianity. You see, Christ saves us to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And if we're not willing to do that, we're going to find that the word is a real burden to us, or we're going to kind of gravitate to those that tickle our ears to say what we want to hear. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and woman, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and woman, and he will increase in learning. So you see, we're on that path of knowledge, of learning, of maturity, when we're wise. But the foolish person despises wisdom and instruction. That's another Proverbs chapter 1. But you see, Paul preaches, he preaches the same message to all people. We don't pull our punches because we've got, you know, high officials here in church, or we're speaking now to somebody that is way up there and we don't want to bum them out. You see, Paul preaches the same message to all, to the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the kings, and we're going to see that as we go on. Later in the later chapters, chapter 21, 22, 23, and to slaves. It's the same message that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. It's basically the message. You see, Paul again writes to the Galatians, which fits here, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You see, going back there to a slave by choice. When I preach, I'm thinking, how's God hearing this? And is God approving of this? And if he isn't approving of this, then I've got to ditch that message. And I got to give a message that God approves of and say what God wants me to say. And how it affects the people, it's going to affect the people according to their spiritual temperature and according to how they're hearing the Lord. You see, that's what Paul is saying. I'm not wanting to please men, but I want to please God. He says again in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. It's not like we're peddling it. We've got to keep the people coming so that the offerings will keep coming in, you know, and that kind of thing. Kind of selling the gospel, you know, peddling it. You're like a huckster, you know, just doing that. Paul says, that's not who we are. It's Christ-approved gospel. Well, he ends off here, and we'll end in verse 24. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except, verse 23, that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of grace. You don't do anything to earn it. God's done everything. You just simply receive it. That's what grace is. Grace is something that God, his benevolence and his goodness and his attributes and his gifts, it's given to us. All we need to have are open arms and receive it. It's not that we have to work for it. You see, works righteousness will kill, you know, will kill the energy in you and will really kill, will quench the Spirit of God. Because he's laying out that that's the gospel of grace. It's by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Lest any man boast. You know, if I could boast in my salvation, heaven would be horrible. Well, what did you do to receive salvation? Well, I did this and that and the other. Well, I did, you know, and it's kind of a bragging session in heaven. But the only thing we'll be bragging on in heaven is our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us out of a pit of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, notice here, these last verses, that the Holy Spirit's warning him. He's warning him of things to come. There's hard times that are going to come. Now, how was he warned? Maybe it was through prophecy. He says through the Holy Spirit. Maybe through prophecy. Maybe through a revelation, because sometimes God would just give a revelation to Paul. Maybe through a vision. God does that. Maybe just through circumstances. It seems like every city Paul went to, Lystra, he was stoned, literally stoned, dragged out of the city. They thought he was dead. In Ephesus, a riot broke out. They had to kind of save Paul, not to go into that theater unless he get torn to pieces. Thessalonica, had, you know, 3 Sabbath days there, and people began to get saved. The Jews didn't like it. They went into the marketplace, got some evil guys to come against Paul, or as the King James says, lewd fellows of the baser sort, kind of a way to put it, ran Paul basically out of town. So maybe Paul just expected Jerusalem. That's where I'm going. But I know there's afflictions. The Holy Spirit has shown me, whether it be through prophecy or what. But remember when Paul was saved, what God said to him through Ananias? God said when Paul was saved on that road to Damascus in Acts 9:16, "For I will show him, I will show Paul," God speaking, "how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Paul, through the Holy Spirit, he knows he was going to suffer. And Jerusalem, that was the epicenter of Jewish animosity toward Christianity. I mean, that's where the persecution began. That's where the disciples were scattered. That's where Paul was part of that persecution. He voted for Stephen to be stoned. And Paul's going back there. And he says, much afflictions are coming. Bonds and afflictions. Well, bonds, or being bound out, up. In the next chapter, we're going to see Agabus, that prophet. He takes the belt and wraps Paul's arms with it. He said, with this belt, you're going to be wrapped up. You're going to be bound. So again, through prophecy, when you go to Jerusalem. But not just bounds, but afflictions. Afflictions, interesting Greek word. Phlipsis is a Greek word, and it means to crush. It means to press together, to squash, to take the breath away. And the idea of this, back, you know, we had a big deal of waterboarding, you know, to get information from enemies. And not kill them, but, you know, get the information from them. Well, back at this time, the phlipsis, that idea would be to get maybe a prisoner, and if you needed to get information from them, you would take a heavy stone, you'd lay them prone on their back and put a heavy stone on their stomach and on their chest. So they could breathe out, they can exhale, but it would be so hard to inhale. Affliction, slipsis. And that was the idea, and that's what Paul is heading toward. That's what he's looking forward to. But he says, you know what? It doesn't matter to me, because my life's not dear to me. Because, you know, it's God's life anyway. He's in charge of my life. I'm just a steward of this body and the time God has given me, and I'll be poured out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think that you know, there are martyrs that are taking place today, and we see when ISIS was cutting the heads off Christians or those that would not convert to Islam. I mean, what a brutal, horrible, demonic kind of religion when you do that. But, you know, it was very hard, and they would actually have videos of that. I could never, ever watch that, the videos. But then they would have pictures of the guys, you know, in their orange suits on their knees, and the ISIS guys behind them with their knives ready to cut their throats and cut their head off. What a horrible thing. But you know, in so many of those testimonies, those people were willing to die for the Lord because they knew what awaited them just after that death. And I think sometimes we're so concerned for our life and so concerned for preserving everything we have that sometimes we miss the concept of heaven. We miss what Paul is talking about. Oh, my life's not dear to me. You know, it's just, it's no big thing to me. In fact, Paul would say at one point, you know, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord, that's what I prefer. I prefer to be with the Lord. But so often we're so much hanging on to this life. Pastor Chuck, he does a commentary on this portion. And I think it's interesting about this. And let me read it, and then we're going to get ready to partake of communion. But commenting on the Paul not considering his life as dear to him, Pastor Chuck says, very few can make the statement Paul made. For most of us do count our lives dear to ourselves. We want to hang on to life as long as possible. We exercise, take pills so as to prolong our life. We even spend thousands of dollars a day to put our loved ones on life support systems so that we can keep them technically alive long after they have really died, because we count life so dear. What is it that we count our life so dear? Because we have no concept of how wonderful heaven is. This is reflected in our attitude toward a Christian who has died, especially if it is a young person or a child. We somehow feel that they were cheated, for they died before they had a chance to really experience life. Yes, they have missed out on so much grief, pain, sorrow, trials, pressure, fear, anxiety. There they are in total bliss of heaven, where there are no tears, sorrow, or pain, enjoying the eternal pleasures. Poor souls, think of all they missed. Talking about here on earth, going through the trials. I think we want to have more of a heaven concept than just preserving our life here on earth.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 20, titled Serving with Tears and Trials. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 20. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.